Welcome everyone to Voice of the Valley here in the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm your host, Dave Bell. 928-428-9494. That's the phone number, 428-9494. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. I'm stumbling because I'm trying to read my phone at the same time. But that's because of my guests. And I want to mention to my guests that I've contacted somebody that they are familiar with. And we will talk about that in just a moment. Patty Cervantes is here. She is chair of the Graham County Democratic Party and brought Daniel Abney, the treasurer. I got it right.
Correct.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. We're glad to be here.
Greg Frostrom. Am I pronouncing that right?
Frostrom. Yes.
He and I have been in contact about him appearing on my show. That's why I was looking it up.
Oh, okay, great.
He's running for state house, and I believe he's based out of the Tucson area?
Correct, yes.
What, Vail or somewhere?
In, I think Green Valley.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to coordinate. And I bring that up to start because I've reached out to local candidates, town councils, mm-hmm. and the sheriffs.
Correct.
Because we have two candidates for sheriff, none on the Democratic side. They're both on the Republican. And just letting them know, May and June, I'm basically opening up to all candidates for the show because that's right before the start of early voting.
Yes.
And if you want to get 30 minutes where you just get to say what you want, here's your opportunity. Not all of them take advantage. It surprises me.
Well, I too am surprised because I think, like you said, there are no Democrats. However, we want to hear from all the candidates. We like to see what their stance is because we are the voter and we are the quote government. We are the ones that are going to put them in office. So if we could just hear from them, be able to talk to them, ask questions, I think then we could make a better judgment of who we're voting for our community, because that's what it's all about.
And local is nonpartisan, not Democrat, not Republican.
No, correct.
So that those are nonpartisan. I asked the partisan races too. I had Carrie Lake on last week. Oh. I've had Mark Lamb on. Gallego's office will not respond.
Oh, no.
Maybe you have more insight into that one. I keep trying to get Gallego on.
Well, we'll look into that because we're trying to get him out here as well. We'd love to have him come out and have a meet and greet to get to know our community. He has been out here once before, last year for our Rosemont for dinner. But yes, we're very anxious to get all our candidates out here. And even we've talked with our nonpartisan. I'm very excited about our city council race. Many candidates there, and being born and raised here, I love it. I love to see people stepping up to get involved.
There are, I think, all the races. Pima's doesn't have quite as many. There's, three open seats, and I think there's five running.
Correct.
In Pima. Mm-hmm. But I think there's two for every seat in Safford and Thatcher.
Yes.
I believe.
On the city council.
The councils. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good. I was a little disappointed to see no challenges for any of the county races except for sheriff. On the other hand, I'm not unhappy with everybody who's there. I mean, I'm never going to vote against Donna McGoy. I mean, I'm not saying that as an endorsement. It's just the truth. She's really good at her job.
Well, I think most of us, we look at our community and who is working at those positions. And I'm like you. I think they're all doing their job.
Yeah. Cindy Orr seems to be doing a great job as treasurer.
Right.
Why would I? But you always like to see a challenge because.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed as well, not having challenges, not just there, but even our board of supervisors, I understand. There are no challengers.
And
the
again,
incumbents, that's it.
Democrat and Republican. Paul David's Democrat and John Howard's Republican. I am quite happy with both of them.
Yes.
I can't vote for either one of them. I'm in Clay's district.
Right.
But and no challenge to Clay. I don't know him.
Well, he's new. And yeah. I think that the community would like to give him an opportunity. You know, it's something that you kind of step up to do. And it's not like you have all this past training and he'll learn as he goes. I think he's got the other two board of supervisors are happy there to help him. and get through that. So
yeah, so I feel comfortable.
Yes, with, me too.
Even though I always like challenges because I like to hear ideas, and even from a losing challenger, generally good ideas come out of it, and smart politicians will take what they heard and say, well, maybe let's make it work.
Yes, I think you're right.
I wish we had more smart politicians at the state and federal level.
That one's a whole different story right there.
At the local level, I feel comfortable because they work together. And yes. And they do. And the party really doesn't matter here at the local level.
No, it doesn't. Things are getting done. We can see a lot getting done with the money that was brought in. I think our Board of Supervisors have done a great job in helping our communities. You just see a lot of good things happening. And I think that's why they're involved. That's why they're there. It's like you say, Democrat, Republican. Yeah, we are all in different parties. But the bottom line is, what are we doing for our community? What do we need and what do they want? And I think that those in that are there now are working together and getting there.
So let's talk a little bit about the Democrats' focus this election season.
Okay.
It seems logical to me that abortion is the number one issue.
Yes, it is.
And it appears, based on the other states having an abortion issue on the ballot, there's two things that seem to benefit Democrats. One, abortion on the ballot.
Correct.
Two, Donald Trump on the ballot or endorsing somebody on the ballot. Seems to benefit Democrats.
Yes.
Is there concern about the trial within the state party? Because if there's a conviction, and it's if, Donald Trump is innocent right now. He's not been adjudicated, and I want to stress that. He's innocent until proven guilty.
Correct.
But this is a criminal trial he's up against right now. And if there's a conviction, is there concern not having him on the ballot? Because truthfully, he's been the greatest thing for Democrats since 2016. Democrats have done well in every election following that because of Trump and his policies and his endorsements.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think
can I throw this out there, Daniel? It's radio. Shaking your head won't help.
You have opinions.
I have some very strong opinions, and but I also am less experienced in the overall political overview and who's who, for instance, anything local, because I have not been in the area. I've been here 2 years.
Okay.
I came back to Arizona from Washington State, and I really don't know a lot about the people and the way things go.
But
when we start talking political, seeing the focus on the polarization instead of what actually works is difficult. I worry a great deal about people getting too focused on the presidential and even on the, I'm more worried about the senators than I am the presidential race.
Which I normally would agree with.
Right.
But all politics is local, and more gets done at the closer you are to the people.
So I feel very anxious about it because I don't know quite what to make of the big picture, what I'm hearing from polls and all. This is too early. I don't know who they're asking. I don't know what questions they're asking. Pollsters are crazy. I don't have that great national name giving me some real unbiased information. So I'm as confused as everybody else.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. When I hear Gallup, I'm okay. When I hear, it's the the Times-Picayune, Nabisco,
you have to ignore those.
Because the team's contract for their own polling, too. So you never know. And you know, when you contract for polling, you want it to skew away.
Right, yeah. Correct.
And I personally try not to even use the word abortion in this. It's, for me, this is healthcare. It's strictly healthcare and the safety overall, not of one particular aspect of life.
I understand, but abortion is the driving issue on both sides.
Yes,
it's the access to or the restriction of.
Right.
Correct.
And so I feel very strong about it. A man has never died from childbirth that I know of. And I don't know why they're making the decisions. I really want the women to step up, and they have been, and take their positions and their safety, because we need them to survive desperately, right? And so I'm clearly on. I still don't understand why people think the state and the federal government should be controlling their health care on that level, a personal level.
I will say I found it odd to hear the anti-abortionists say, for the most part, they were the same, for the most part, say, I shouldn't be told to wear a mask or I shouldn't be told to get a vaccine because it's my body, it's my choice.
Yes.
But you can't have a procedure. Your body is not your choice in that particular one instance. It seems inconsistent.
It is very inconsistent. And I think this is just a topic that has been used over the years. And when Roe versus Wade was overturned, the first thing I'm thinking personally is, come on, where's the statistics? Because if you really look at the statistical abortions at that point, were not being done in large numbers. Never, I don't even know of a 9-month abortion that occurred. That's the big thing.
I've never heard of that.
None of us have, and we've researched that. I think it was so much like it was less than a 1% of even.
Now I've heard of non-survivable births.
Non-viable. Yes.
I've heard of that, but I've never heard of a person opting to abort after usually it's under 8 weeks.
Right. And the statistics were showing that, and so for this whole issue to be brought up again, and as a female, women again are being attacked. And why? You know, why is it always about our health care, the abortion issue? All I can say is that I guess from a very young age, you know, that's what you're hearing. You know, they are babies. They're this, they're that. But the bottom line is many reasons occur for abortions. Everyone is different. Just because I personally believe that everyone should have their own choices. That doesn't mean that I'm here to say, oh, you know, everybody should have an abortion. No, I just believe my thing is let every individual, male or female, make their own choices. And when it comes to abortion, that's between that female and her doctor. And I think everybody is losing that whole thing. It's a healthcare issue. And I don't think they're understanding in a lot of ways that a miscarriage on our medical record is an abortion.
Yes, in many states,
yes.
Based on their laws.
So
yes.
If these laws keep continue, it's technically, they can put as, you know, you have a miscarriage, which someone in Texas was charged for having a miscarriage and they called it an abortion. You know, us as women, that's a heavy thing to have over your head every time. You want children. You want to have them when you're ready. And God forbid you get this abortion. And now you're even more scared because if the government's going to come after you, because now it's an abortion and now you're going to serve jail time for something you had no control over. The laws are just it's gotten ridiculous. And I think that as women, we need to take care of ourselves and we need to fight for this. And locally, even with my Young Dems group at the office, we will be planning a rally to get women together so their voice can be heard, so that they know that we are here and we have a voice. And this law, this 1864 law, is ridiculous. Really wasn't, I don't think, even intended really for women. There was other issues occurring during the Civil War, during these times. And it's time that we just step up and get this. I wish we could just not even have it in the Constitution, because as a healthcare issue, it doesn't belong there. It belongs elsewhere. But it is there now, and we will have to protect ourselves, protect our children, protect our daughters. And we do have a lot of the men that support us as well, saying, hey, it is your right. It is your right to make that decision. And these women that have almost died because their babies are not viable, and they are made to carry them until they are very sick, because that's, I think, most of the laws are saying when they are close to death, then we will step in. Your body becomes sepsis because of the poison from that, and there's no guarantee you're going to live after that. And then after that, the other guarantee is you may not have another child if you're pregnant again if you survive that. And that's, for us women, is very, very difficult when we want a family and we want children. And for us to be put in that situation, one bad pregnancy where you almost die and then never again be able to have the child that you would want.
Abortion has been a winner for Democrats over the last 18 months or so,
yes,
whenever it's on the ballot. But a loser has been the border.
Yes, correct.
Democrats are struggling on this issue, and Republicans have been making gains on the issue. Heck, was it in Long Island where the Republican won by being stronger on the border? No, the Democrat won by being stronger on the border,
yes,
than the Republican. I know I just said Democrats, yeah, have been a loser on this one, yeah, but in general.
Well,
so what are the Democrats doing to counter that narrative? Because that's a tough one.
Well,
Republicans have owned that issue.
It is a tough one. But what happened recently when we had a bipartisan vote, and we got the bill that had everything. We were asking for more judges, asking for more border patrol. You know, we were asking for more facilities. We were asking for everything to try to get everything under control, to have better control. And yet it never got the vote. And because of one individual talking to his party saying, no, we don't need it, but we do need it. So no, you say that we've been losing on that, but I think at that point, I think we're winning because we want this bill. We've stepped up to do this, and it was their own party that rejected that after they worked with the group to put it together. So I say we're winning. We can still use that to help us on that.
I'm sorry.
I look at this issue and I say, okay, who's actually been in charge of the money involving the border? And that's been the Republicans for a long time, maybe 50 years.
I think there's only two Democratic Congress people that have a border district. I think there are only two.
But
yes.
So they want to make a single issue of like, just cut the border off. But legally, the Democrats are aware they cannot just do that. There are laws to be followed, good laws made for a good reason. And to just cut the border off and not let anyone come across doesn't work. We can't just shut the borders.
All right,
legally letting people across only works if you have the structure and the judges and the people to make it work. And that's... So they're creating the very situation that they're using as an example of our problem. They're creating it.
All right. Let me counter real quick.
Yeah, okay.
My question would be, why can't we shut down the border? And I'll throw this at you. And I grant you, many of these problems are the makings of oligarchs. Yeah. I want to stress that.
Yes.
we've got an influx of people that are seeking jobs. Are they seeking my job? No, they're not. Yeah. And when I hear people saying they're stealing our jobs, they're not stealing your job, dude. They're not. but they are seeking jobs. And as I told Carrie Lake, I think the vast majority of people coming over the border illegally, as they should not, but coming over, are seeking a better life. As Reagan said, we're the shining beacon on the hill. And this is the place to come for a chance at success. I believe those people have good intentions.
I do too.
But given that so many of our jobs are offshored now, again, the creation of oligarchs, we don't need extra competition for jobs. We need to put Americans to work, which Biden did with the infrastructure bill, putting people to work. That's what we need to do. Get jobs to Americans. Is it the worst thing to say we just have to stop all influx for a while until, A, we've got an immigration process that's
working,
that's functional.
Yeah.
And then B, even though our unemployment is ridiculously low right now, and it really is, not just here in Graham Greenlee, but nationwide, it's the lowest it's been in 40 years?
40 plus years, yep.
Even though we still want to make sure everybody's working at good paying jobs, because just being employed is not enough. It has to be a job that pays the bills.
Correct.
So is it such a bad thing to say we've got to shut the border down until these other things are done?
I think better management and better control is what we're looking for. And I think that the bill that was proposed would have done that. I have always felt that the more judges you get there, and they can actually process people at that point, I think that it would work. Stopping it or just closing it total, yeah, I can see your point. I really do. But however, we still need to allow people to come in, especially those that are coming from countries that are at war or countries where they're starving. And, you know, if they want to come here to work, they will do the jobs that our own people will not do. And those are a lot of the field work, working out in the sun, so.
I want to stress, I think Americans will do that job. They just won't do that job for wages that are unworkable.
Yeah. Well, I think that most of the wages are working, are for the people. I mean, picking your onions and a lot of machinery has taken over some of our field jobs anyway, as it is.
Right.
So we do have those employees. But yeah, I just think that we do have to keep looking at it and take a better look at it. And we need to work together. We need to work together. It can't be used as the tool because we're in election year. So let's just not do anything, we have to work together and do something. Maybe not totally shut it down, but yes, put some restrictions out there.
I was working in the cotton fields in the 60s when I was 10 years old.
I'm going to ask you to save it because we got to go to break. 428-9494, more with Patty and Daniel right after this. Welcome back to Voice of the Valley in the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm Dave Bell. Patty Cervantes, Daniel Abney are here. They're with the Graham County Democratic Party. I always say, stay here during the breaks. If you could, hang out, need to put some bleachers in here. There's no room for bleachers. Because the really interesting discussions happen there, because everybody's a little freer. But one thing that did come up was down ballot. Races. Oh, let's take a phone call first. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave, it's me. Been listening to you this morning, and first of all, we'll never be able to shut the border completely down.
Okay.
For instance, you take your Border Patrol agents, say he makes $65,000 a year, cartel comes up and says, hey, if at certain times, they're this time and this time, if you'll turn your back and not be in the area, we'll give you $500,000. That's going to be hard to pass up.
That is. Yeah.
Even the federales over in Mexico themselves are corrupt to this.
Yeah, money does a lot of talking.
Oh, it does. It's bad because, I mean, you put between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, yeah. I do think we need far more border agents, but technology to me. I agree with you. The cartels are a whole different animal, and I've heard Republicans suggest that we offer military aid to Mexico to go ferret them out as a terrorist organization. I don't want to send America's military into another country that hasn't officially attacked us, but considering the effect we feel from those cartels, it's something I would consider.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, we send the aid over there to them, and guess who his pocket is going to wind up in? The cartel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just it's so corrupt, and it's just horrible.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like how it went to warlords in the Balkans during the Soviet dissolution. Yeah, the money just disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, money seems to talk.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Dave.
Take care.
Thank you.
Great points.
Yes.
These great points. How do you overcome the money that cartels bring in? I've not heard either side really address that one, other than saying cartels are evil, which I think both sides agree with.
Yes.
You know, we don't want fentanyl coming over the border. We don't want other, you know, addictive narcotics coming over. We got to figure out a way. But as you say, that's going to take a bipartisan solution.
It is. I really, and if you do bipartisan solutions and everybody can work together, that's the key. Working together to make sure that those entering in our country are here to do good, because some are going to get through the process. And yes, other things could happen here. You know, I know the big issues of somebody might get killed. I mean, but we have to be careful. And if we could work together, that's the key. Let's get something done as a country, as a group, and that can help all of us.
You know,
I wanted to go to Daniel on this one real quick, because we've only got about 4 minutes or so, mm-hmm. about 3 minutes. You were talking about down ballot races.
Yes.
During the break. And and to me, which is why I brought up Trump being on the ballot is so effective for Democrats, because people do pay attention to down ballot when he's there. But there's one down ballot that never gets attention. I think this year they will, because of going back to a territorial law, and that's judges.
Yeah. Very important. And there's... Even within the judicial system, there's an acknowledgement that some judges are really bad, and they rate each other. And if you don't pay attention on the ballot and look, because our ballots are confusing, so we'd be happy to talk with people and help them learn how to read the darn things, particularly the younger voters. But those are very important. Your local judges matter a lot.
Yeah, we're lucky that we have a great local judge.
Right.
Yes.
And I don't think he's been challenged. It's not this year. He's up in 2 years.
2 years.
But I think 2 years ago, I don't believe he was challenged
at
all. I'm happy with that. Peterson's great.
Yeah.
But at the Supreme Court level, state Supreme Court level, there should be challenges. I would hope there's challenges, whether you like the judges or not. Because, I want to know what your background is. I think the best example is Judge Cannon in the federal, is it the documents case, or she got January 6th? I think she's got the documents case. And you can like her rulings, you can dislike her rulings. I think everybody can agree she was an inexperienced trial attorney who got appointed to the bench way before she was ready, and now she's floating on an island. Not even on an island. She's on an inner tube out in the ocean. And you can tell she doesn't know what she's doing. I do feel a little bad for her, because she just had nothing to draw from. She was put in a bad position. Does that justify bad rulings? You know, you can argue both ways, but... You said it. There are judges who just aren't competent.
And this matters to our lives. And so You know, if you looking at the down ballot things, we have a little more control than we think we do in the long run.
So the key is pay attention to down ballot. I really believe that.
Yes.
And we know that presidential election season means more voters come out.
Yes, they do.
I want to take like 30 seconds and say
exactly
that we have a large number of healthcare professionals who are doing their best to help us deal with the people who take fentanyl. Like, why are they taking it? You can't just go after the suppliers. You need to help the people who think erroneously that they need these things.
Great last words. Patty Cervantes, Daniel Abney with the Graham County Democrats, thank you so much. The office is located
at 624 South Fifth Avenue. And if our flag is flying, we're there. We're generally open from 9 to 3.
Come on by
and we'll answer questions or help you, whatever you need.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening as well. I'm out of here for now, but I'll be back tomorrow. Till then, have a great day.